going.
Yep, looks solid here.
I look good here as well. My son just discovered Super Mario Run.
Oh, okay, I've heard of that.
Yes, so he's been playing that a bunch on my phone lately. And then it's his birthday tomorrow. Unfortunately, his party isn't until another 2 weeks, just because the way that the weekends and other parties and so forth shook out, but we're giving him his gift tomorrow. And I have to be very careful because he's still awake, but it's the Switch.
Oh, solid. That's a real fancy gift.
Yes, he's going to go out of his mind, because most times, like, when you go to your Targets, your Walmarts, your places like that, and they'll have the video game displays up, usually you can't play the Nintendo ones. It's just like, oh, put an amiibo on there, or, like, here, hit this button, and you can watch a demo, right?
Right.
The local Walmart, they just put one up where you could play the Switch.
Ooh.
And they had Mario Odyssey on it.
I hear that's a... absolutely superb game.
It feels just like Mario 64.
Wow.
You know, but with all the new funky ways that video games are in 2017. Right. But the thing, it kicks you off after you've, like, when you're playing it for 10 minutes, it just kicks you off and goes back to the load screen.
Okay.
When he found out that this thing was there this past weekend, we woke up in the morning, my wife had work, and we went up to Walmart, and we were at Walmart for an hour and a half playing it.
In 10-minute loops?
Yes. And then just yesterday, he was telling my wife how great it would be if we lived in the Walmart, where we would be able to eat all the food we wanted for free, and we could play the Switch as much as we wanted, and if no one was looking, he can go into the girls' bathroom. Which,
because it's cleaner to spy on chicks, well, so no one would shame him for using the wrong toilet?
I don't know. I think it leads to, like, so, you know, my wife is like, you get to go in the girls' bathroom, because, you know, obviously when it's just me and my wife out, that's where he goes. And he goes, no, but I can go in by myself. And he says, I could disguise myself as a girl and no one would know the difference. And about a week ago, we were getting him ready for... school, and he says to my wife, he's like, Mom, I got a problem. There's so many girls in my class, and I want to kiss them all. And I'm just like, oh boy, well, there you go. That's one less thing I have to worry about.
Yeah, that is pretty spectacular.
Not that I'm worried, but, you know, right. I don't remember having those sort of mental decisions at... six. It's like, oh boy, which of these girls am I going to kiss? I'm six. No.
All of them.
All of them. I want to kiss them all, you know.
Gold. Hello, everybody, and welcome to your weekly PW3 PSA. And as we like to remind you that there are hungry people in every community, more importantly this week, and not too terribly far from what I just said, two of my favorite things incorporated into one charity are helping children and low overhead. So if you would like a charity that does both, check out Children Incorporated at childrenincorporated.org. It gives you a chance to sponsor children, to provide them with not only food, but clothing, healthcare, education. It's, you know, sustainable solutions for their development. So that's childrenincorporated.org. And now on with the show. It's still just me. Greetings once again, true believers, and welcome to the magical 111th installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. I am Sneaky Beat 15, also known as Ian. With me, as always, is Chaos 72, everybody's favorite guy named Ray, the co-founder of the Puzzle Warriors Alliance. This week, we have a special in-studio guest, a regular contributor to the show, longtime friend, and the man formerly known as Leonard F. Chikarison, our good friend Joe. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you for having me in studio. I had to drive all the way down to State College to where Ian records.
Right.
I did take the phone off the hook for you, just so you know.
Oh, good. Good. Well, we're classing it up this episode. This is our memorial episode, because if you haven't heard, we lost Craig in a stampede while he was down in Texas. They have cattle down there, don't they?
They certainly do.
All right. Well, that's why he's not here. Squashed.
I was going to say, I mentioned before we started recording to Ray, I said, oh, did you forget Craig down there? Was he in the luggage and just got lost?
I think he had to remain for actual work reasons. He was the only one down there for legitimate reasons. Everybody else just wanted to have a good time, which is a legitimate reason. But I mean, like, he had obligations down there, I guess is the correct word.
Yeah, and apparently he's unable to get the to listen in on the live stream as of yet. So, you know, double bonus.
Yeah. So will he be back by this weekend for poker?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe he's returning to town tomorrow. So,
oh, solid. Okay. We'll try to get this thing rolling. We'll see if we can't force if I can somehow find a way to derail myself to give it a more authentic Puzzle Warriors feel, I will. But we'll see. We'll see what we do here with just the three of us. And so this is the week covering 10/11 through 10/18. And this week's Deadpool dailies, it's Yellow Vision, followed by a Yellow Strange, Green Thanos, Black Hawkeye, Green Star-Lord. If my sources are correct, Monday's a Black Gambit and Tuesday's a Red Elektra?
That's crazy.
I'm gonna say no on that.
I'm going to say no on that, too. I am doubtful that that is true. Now, but I wrote it down anyway.
Right. I know Star-Lord is the end of the current line.
Right.
If anyone's going to get added first, it should be Elektra, since she was introduced first.
I would say so, too. So let's say that those two aren't going to happen and Monday's actually going to be a yellow Black Panther. That would make Tuesday a some-colored Storm and the next day a some-colored Magneto?
Correct.
Right on. I've played this game.
See, I was really looking forward to the Black Gambit, but Elektra, all I get is red, and I already have two dying on the vine. So, not so much.
Yeah, we'll see as this week rolls around. So
I don't think they've given her as a PvP prize yet.
Okay.
And that's why I would assume that she wouldn't be making the cut this time around. But you never know. It could be one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, we forgot to take her name off the list. So whoops-a-doodle, she's in there. They only have, you know, on the boards officially up to Star-Lord for sure. So after Star-Lord, your guess is as good as mine. It very well could be Black Gambit, Red Elektra, or some new three-star that they just decided to, like, oh, we forgot to fix the code there. You never know.
Right. All right, so fun and surprises here at the top of the week. Now for your 5-day four-star crash. Of the Titans. Last time we had Devil Dino versus the Squirrel Girl. It was real smooth sailing for me. I didn't do any boosting of him. I didn't add anything. He just chomped his way to victory, I imagine. I don't know about you guys. You guys are the Dino sailing type. Did you guys fare as well?
I have not got a chance to, anywhere near a chance to sell him. I have him at 353. He was dominated. I just build up red and build up red and yeah. Chomped away to victory, so I think I'll be good this week.
Right on. Yeah, I don't think that I was necessarily meant to imply that you had him built up to the point where you had to sell him, but when they reworked him and he was worth a lot more, people who consider him a less valuable novelty style character were quick to put him on the chopping block.
That was me a year ago when they did that. If you remember, the first two reworks were him, and do you remember who the other rework was? Invisible Woman.
Well, I was just going to say, was it Sue? Because she's out of control now.
Okay, so now she's already been reworked again since that first time that they did it, and that was the first time that they reworked characters and had them back, that you can get them back at, you know, sell them back at an increased price.
Right.
So I had Sue fully covered, but I didn't have her anywhere near being champ, because she was just one of those people like, nah, I'll champ her another day. And I sold Devil Dino, no problem. I'd already had him champ from the previous anniversary. And then I'm doing the math, and somebody else said that they sold a fully covered non-champed Sue for X, whatever it was.
Mm.
And if I spent the ISO to get her up to that, I would have gotten an extra like 50,000 ISO on top of it. So I just said, let's do it. I sold Sue. I sold Devil Dinosaur all that way back when. I've since re-rostered Sue and gotten her champed. And at the first Squirrel Girl fight, my Devil Dinosaur was a piddling 111.
Right?
I did end up beating her on, like, the third day, because I wasn't spending health packs to do it. And then with the second time around, with the covers and everything that I've gotten, I've got him up to a 223, and it was a little bit easier that time. Like, he's, like, level 147 at a 223. Right. And I haven't gotten a ton of his covers out of the Anniversary Vault, and I'm hoping to get a few more when his PvP rolls around in a couple days, but I don't think I'm going to get him re-champed this time around. I just don't see it in the cards.
Fair.
Yeah, I was really hoping to get him championed this time finally, but I've only got one usable cover. I got another red,
mm-hmm.
so that's probably going to be sold. I still need another cover, either right. a green or a purple.
I just haven't managed to fish him out of this time. I have one of each flavor of Magneto, and you get a Mordo, and or some Battery Mans. Top finishers get a Moon Knight. Everyone else gets the new three.
Longer, that much quicker.
Hmm.
So that, and he's, you know, he's making his, you know, he's making his own AP, plus you're making these matches, plus he's getting rid of enemy tiles, plus he's turning them into charge tiles, plus he's destroying charge tiles. So if you have people that put out charge tiles just for no reason, now granted, I don't have a Black Bolt that's anywhere near playing, but there are other folks out there like, you know, a Totally Awesome Hulk or people like that that make more charge tiles, and you don't have to worry about a color mix there because he's only using blue and green. You don't have to worry about Gambit not allowing those powers to happen. So there's a lot of places to work with Gambit. I think the 3-star Gambit is very versatile.
I can get behind that, and it makes much more sense now, because hearing you describe that, you're like, Gambit is good, but you have to think ahead before using him, which is why I was initially turned off.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense now. It's like, oh, you have to think about pairing him with people. Oh, no wonder I was out. He sounds like he could be great. Good for Gambit. Thanks for that breakdown, Joe.
Well, a lot of that was, you know, the three-star required node for him in the PvP, or the PvE. It was just me trying different boosted people to see where I was finding some sort of synergy. And because Blade is boosted, he was one that kind of kept falling into the different teams that I was using. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to play, you know, like a Thanos type because I can't use his purple. Or I'm not going to play a Jean Grey because I can't use a red. I'm not going to play a Cyclops because I can't use the red. So then, like, who is a red passive? And I'm like, oh, Blade. But I think Blade and Gambit is a nice team. And then whoever you want to throw in there as a third, you know, you got your 4-star Carols who really work with anyone. Like, she's the Swiss yeah, Army knife of the true. Game, really.
So, yeah, I went with Carol and Coulson on there. So there wasn't much in the way of color overlap. There you go. it turns out his countdown tiles aid to that as well. So Carol just, yeah, became a monster. So I got through that required node quite easily with him. So yeah, I think he's versatile and maybe on his own, not all that impressive, but I don't know. It was throwing the charge up cards. That's what it was all about for me. So.
Right. His animations are sweet as well.
Yeah. They really are. I will give you that. So he sounds like a pretty spectacular support character.
And just to be clear, Daywalker pointed out that you can use black with Gambit. It's only his active colors that he blocks. Okay. So,
thank cool. you, Daywalker.
Yes.
I assume you are the real Blade.
You should know.
Seriously. All right. Welcome to, we'll just quickly dive into my favorite segment, which this week I have a little less information than usual about. This is our featured pie of the week. This week, it's sweet potato pie. Now, unfortunately, I don't have much experience with sweet potato pie because I am woefully unpopular south of the Mason-Dixon line. Like, people just look at me like I'm a little strange. I'll give you that, but they do not like me. It just has a consistency very similar to pumpkin pie. It's really just mashed up sweet potatoes, milk, sugar, eggs, flavored with your favorite spices, usually nutmeg, something like that. It's, yeah, and again, they're not super popular around these parts. It's more of a southern cooking / soul food style dish, but it's also popular around Thanksgiving, much like the pumpkin pie. They're, like all pies, are assorted variations, I think. Again, this is the fault of people here up in the north who think that candied yams are appropriate. They will throw marshmallows onto their sweet potato pie, which is an abomination. But feel free to experiment with that if it is. Oh, and there was no debate about tops. This is always, always open-faced. That's the only way I've ever had it. There's no crust top. There's no lattice work. There's no crumb. So don't shy away from the sweet potato pie if you've never had it. Give it a chance. If you like pumpkin pie, give it a chance. If you don't like that creamy mashed potato consistency, I would say then maybe avoid it. That's all I got.
Nothing. I got no ad whatsoever.
Right on.
Yeah, sweet potato pie is what it is.
All right. Controversial stance. Don't like sweet potatoes, don't like pie.
The second one is hurtful. I can understand not liking sweet potatoes.
I'm more of a cake guy, and I'm more of a chocolate and or chocolate peanut butter-based dessert kind of guy, since most pies lean toward fruit or some sort of fruit filling, and I'm not much of a fruit dessert person. I'll eat a banana, I'll eat an apple. I'm not going to eat an apple pie or anything of that nature. Give me something chocolatey, give me something rich like that, and please don't get me started on the ills of Big Pumpkin.
Oh, man. I won't. I will not poke the bear, but... So you'll tolerate fruit, but you won't celebrate it in a pie form.
Absolutely not.
All right, well... you can't be right every time. After that insightful gambit, little infographic that you gave us, audio only, we'll let your hatred for delicious pies slide. Let's talk about some news. The release notes for 137 are out, and if I remember correctly, it has virtually no content.
So it seems. It's very short.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Powers that targeted up to a number of special tiles will always target the maximum amount of tiles. For example, Drax the Destroyer's power, the Destroyer, at power level 5, will destroy 4 enemy special tiles if 4 enemy special tiles are on the board. The only other notes here are the anniversary's on, double ISO, anniversary tokens, other rewards.
Woohoo, double ISO.
Yeah, double ISO has been just everything that it says. It's been ISO, it's been doubled, it's been wonderful.
Well, not completely doubled. I'm sure, I don't know if either of you guys are lightning round guys.
Whoa! Did you read the next? Are you leading us into that?
Yes, I am. So go
ahead.
You're
so much better than I am at this. It's like you're a professional podcaster or something. Yeah, I heard from the Reddits and through various sources that lightning rounds got no double ISO.
Well, the little bit of bonus that you get, you know, every time that you start a new... you know, battle on a PvP side of things, whether it be simulator, you know, or otherwise you get like the plus 30, plus 20, plus 10, you know, when you're going around the board.
Depending on how many nodes you've skipped.
Right.
Those got increased to 60, 40, 20, but the actual battles themselves were not generating double ISO. People complained. D3 said, my bad. We'll make it up to you, give you a gift of some kind for anyone that played in the lightning rounds at all. Then they came back and said, sorry, no gift. Next week's lightning rounds will be double ISO.
Ooh.
Interesting. Good to know.
I didn't see that coming. So, what? I was going to say, in that vein, I'm going to start complaining about more stuff. So, this week, everything was supposed to be double ISO. So, I opened a bunch of basic covers and sold a bunch of 1-stars, and they still only got me 100 ISO.
That's true. Only the prizes are doubled, not the...
Outrageous. I am angry. Now, please give me more.
I did see someone lamenting that they should have also made the shield interrupts double ISO as well.
Oh, yeah.
But let's not go crazy. For me, and this is always my thought, when it comes to double ISO, not double ISO, double ISO in some spots but not in other spots, when I wake up in the morning and I turn the game on and it works... I'm ahead for the day. Everything else after that is gravy.
Brigby on Discord just said, please don't complain more.
That's fair.
Yeah, it really is.
Does anybody know how to use Instagram?
No. Yes.
Ooh, I was going to rely on our social media expert, Joe. I hear there's a sweepstakes on Instagram.
Yes. I only did it a couple times because I always forget about it because Instagram, I am not a... 16 to 22 year old girl, so I very rarely use Instagram.
Right.
But if you took a picture in
game, your favorite Snapchat.
I'm more of a grinder sort of guy, but anyway.
Reasonable.
Right. That's where I do all my Marvel puzzle quests in there. a 5-match means something different. But anyway, you would just take a picture, you know, tag Marvel Puzzle Quest in it, and, you know, whatever their hashtag was. And I guess they've done this before, because, you know, my Instagram app was pre-filling in, you know, the previous hashtags. And I did it a couple days, but I always forget about it because, you know, I'm playing the game.
Sure. Sure.
They were doing a daily prize, like one person would be selected at random, and you would get from a pool of the 3- and 4-star X-Men related covers.
Oh, I was going to say, this is, I think you, do you get one from this pool, or do you get this entire prize pack is what it implies?
Oh, I don't know. If it's the prize pack, I think I need to turn back the hands of time and do it for the last several days.
Players can win a selection of 4-star X-Men character. Yes, you win the entire pack. Here's who's included in the... In the pack, you get a X-Force Wolverine, an X-23, X-Force Deadpool, Classic Cyclops, Teen Jean, Professor X, and Iceman. That is a dope prize.
Those are all characters that I want covers for. I should have been doing this more often. Now, if they did it on Twitter, no problem. I'm on Twitter all the time.
Right. Well, you're good until the 20th.
Today's the 10th?
Today's
11th?
The 11th.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do that today then.
Okay.
I might start participating. Turns out I also have Instagram installed, probably for the last time they did this.
Right.
That's all the news I have other than, you know, the anniversary is on. Surely you've heard about it at this point. Surely you know what it entails. We're a large part of we're good. We're well into it.
I have heard about it, but don't call me Shirley.
I think
Craig
it
wasn't
ends
here. I had to. Sorry.
Sunday is when it ends, right? Like Sunday night into Monday morning, like 3 a.m. Eastern time on Monday is, I think, when it ends.
That sounds accurate.
Yeah.
Other than, it does. 3 a.m. on October the 16th is the final day of the anniversary. Now, we're in our, as far as local news goes, Ray, you said the trip was great?
The trip was very good. So I'll give you a quick rundown here. The first night, we went to a speakeasy. This is a type of place, if you remember during Prohibition, nobody remembers, but during Prohibition, if you remember reading about this in history class, during Prohibition, you go to a place, alcohol was illegal, but you give a password at the door, they let you in, they give you a booth, and they secretly make drinks for you. That's exactly what this was. You go to the door, give them a password that you have to find out in advance. They seat you at a private booth, and then you order special cocktails, and they make them in front of you, giving you long descriptions of what the ingredients are, where the ingredients come from, how the ingredients mix with each other to make the flavors that you're tasting. It's an amazing experience. It was really good.
Wow, that sounds suspiciously like Joe's Gambit description. Like a lot of thought and a lot of hard work, but a really big payoff in the end.
Exactly.
Outrageous.
Actually have places like that in New York. It's more for the Broadway and off-Broadway crowd, where it's where the people who are fans of like X show, whatever show, let's just say Book of Mormon, right? We're the people that always go see Book of Mormon. We're pals. There is a bar that kind of caters to us, so that we're not ending up with the rest of the rabble that would be out trolling right. The crowd. We go to this bar, we speak, you know, whatever the secret word is, the password, and they do a similar drink theme where it's themed drinks for whatever that particular show you're a fan of is. And every once in a while, people from the cast might pop in just to say, like, hey, what's up? Now, I'm not a Broadway kind of guy, but in the dozens and dozens of podcasts that I listen to, I've heard people talk about attending these, and it sounds very much exactly like what Ray described without having to be a fan of Broadway shows.
Sure, right. Sure, right.
What can I do to better enjoy? What can I do to get past the seemingly pretentious nature of this outing so that I can enjoy it better when I'm included in the future?
I don't know, because it was kind of pretentious, so...
Seems dripping with nonsense.
Well,
like
it is, and I'll also tell you that a couple of the people serving the drinks were so far into the hipster zone, it was incredible.
Well, tell me that something positive, like there was a girl dressed as a flapper with glasses and too many tattoos that had like a cigarette girl thing, and she sold you beef jerky.
Man, I really wish that were true, but no.
Oh, man, you're losing me here.
Yeah, I know.
It was several sweaty men with pumpkin spice mustache wax.
All right. Well, that sounds probably nice.
It was very nice. And another thing is you had to keep it quiet because in a speakeasy, you don't want to be loud because that'll draw the attention of the neighbors, hence the cops. So you can't be. And you also aren't supposed to use technology. No cell phones. No.
Hold on. I got one more.
So, yeah, I'm not going to say it wasn't a pretentious place, but it was good. They had good drinks and I enjoyed it.
Good.
So quickly, I'm going to hit some of the highlights. We went on a safari, drive your car through the zoo and the animals just come up to the side of your car.
Awesome.
Type thing.
I'm pro that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. The best part was it was a 5 mile per hour speed limit. Obviously, you don't want to be running over these animals. Right. Every time our driver, who Ian knows, our driver named Scott, anytime he hit 6 miles an hour or higher, Craig and I would yell at him.
Totally
about breaking the speed limit.
Totally worth it.
It was fantastic.
That is the second best news you could have given me. That, like, the only thing better is if you had told me that Craig had, like, lost a pinky to an emu.
No, but the car in front of us was doing that, was feeding out of their hands where you're not supposed to, and we were just hoping.
Oh, praying for some when animals attack?
Yeah, we were waiting for the bloodbath to ensue, but... No,
you can't
luck.
Even set your cruise control to 5 miles per hour.
No, you can't. We tried.
Right. I think you can't turn it on to like 20 at the very right. least. I would have just got out and walked.
So that was good. We went to a salt lick, which is some of the best barbecue apparently ever. Good place. Way out in the middle of nowhere. I had to drive way out to it. But that was good. There's tons of barbecue everywhere. And if you're ever in Austin, you have to hit 6th Street sometime on the weekends during the evenings. It turns into Mardi Gras. Like 5 or 6 blocks get shut down. There's people everywhere. All of them are drinking. There are live bands going on. It was a good time.
Curses. It sounds excellent.
Yeah. We went to the piano bar, Dueling Pianos. That was a good time. Sing along with the Dueling Pianos. And it wasn't just pianos. Guy had an electric fiddle. And he was playing all sorts of stuff. Played Devil Went Down to Georgia, jumped on top of the pianos, dancing around, playing it. It was quite an amazing show. But
nice.
It was a good trip. It was definitely a good trip. And then the last day, Craig started his convention, so we went off without him and visited the local missions, which, strangely enough, was way more compelling than I expected it was going to be. Basically, architecture, you know.
Right.
And, but... It was good. It was a fun outing. That was down in San Antonio, though. So
okay, cool.
But good. It was a good trip.
Sweet.
No Chuck E. Cheese's or ball pits or anything like that on this trip?
No.
Joe, I could hug you right now.
See, I enjoy hearing these stories, and I'm like, man, Ray sounds like he had a great time. He sought these places out. He enjoys travel and all these sort of things. I'm just like... Hey, yeah, I got an email for a coupon for $5 off of Chuck E. Cheese. Let's go. I went out. Hey, let's mix things up and go to the Dixon City one instead of the Wilkes-Barre one this weekend. Wild times.
It does. It sounds incredible. I was really... I did really enjoy it, but at the same time, I was feeling hollow inside listening to adults having fun adult adventures doing adult things. I was like, why?
Unfortunately, that is a choice you made, but
it is.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
It is. It is. And,
I would point out though, that I have had those times myself. Although my kid doesn't live with me now, he's 24 now. So I'm quite past those times.
Right. All right. So it's cyclical.
Right. Exactly.
It's like poetry. So it rhymes. So in like 18 years, I'll be able to go on a trip similar to this.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, since you have the floor, why don't you open up the mailbag?
Oh, sure.
Tell us about our lovely listeners.
Sure. So first, right. And for the mailbag, we have Lumpy to thank for the mailbag.
Willie Lumpkin?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Listener comments brought to you by Willie Lumpkin.
First, Perrin-Diak. He has some comments about Rogue. She can fly, she can absorb power, she's super strong, but she's not really a strategy kind of person. She's a hothead, so he saw a completely different set of powers for her. Maybe in the at some point in time they'll release a 3 or 5 star variant since the... 5 star maybe, since he says that she should be way stronger than Gambit or Nightcrawler. And I'm not really sure about that stronger than Gambit. Portion. Gambit's like one of the most powerful. I mean, he can charge anything. He could charge the whole planet. So
really? You're on the Gambit train? I was not on the Gambit hype train. I can't believe of the three people they released, they picked him to be the 5-star.
Yeah, see, he's a really powerful mutant. His power is through the roof. It just takes forever, you know, to charge. he also said that if Rogue stole powers, though, there would be a patch for her and Colossus every other week. So, yeah, that's probably true.
Right.
I mean, you can only make the powers so complicated, so...
Right, the closest we get is Mystique Shapeshift, where she just kind of sort of looks like the guy for a couple turns.
Right, and stuns them, because they're like, what?
Right, like, we could have got that power with Rogue, so I think we kind of lucked out.
Next, Kabarism said that he did it. He managed to get 2,600 command points. He says the only problem is he has 200,000 ISO, because he keeps getting 4 stars from events and tokens, heroics, so he has to sit on all the command points long enough to so that he can actually open up some new tokens to get or some new characters, because he doesn't have enough to level any. He was thinking about this, and he was wondering what we might think about a single command point is worth in ISO. Like, if D3 were to put a button on the store where you could sell command points to get X number of ISO, what do you think that ratio would be? Any ideas?
ISO was very overpriced. Right. In comparison like, say, hero points, right? Because in certain nodes, just as an example, as I'm pulling up the game here, that 5-star required node in PvE, they give you 3 command points for the second time that you beat it, right?
Right.
The third time that you beat it, and again, not taking into consideration that it's double ISO, let's say it's 500 ISO, right? So let's say that's somewhat comparable. But then on the flip side, on the 4-star required node that also gives you 1 command point at the very end, it also gives you a high-end prize of a non-doubled ISO amount of 500 ISO. So is a command point worth 500 ISO, or is 3 command points worth 500 ISO? Let's say that it's closer to 1 command point equals 500 ISO. They would not sell that back to you at that. They would do it at probably like 250 or even like 200 per command point. But in the actual, you know, in-game what you're trying to do, a command point, I think, is more quote-unquote valuable than ISO.
Yeah, it is.
When you try to compare the three types of currency in-game, it's very sketchy.
Yeah, I'm curious how what the calculations that they have to go through in order to get that. So, as a final thing, he said that he was thinking 500 ISO would be fair, but 2,000 would make him press the button constantly. Yeah, 2,000 would be way too much.
It is way too much.
Well, and then even still, like, let's say you would do it as a sliding scale. Are you going to get more ISO if you're selling 1 command point at a time, or dumping them all at once for 1 lump sum of ISO? Are they going to give you more of a return for giving back more CP?
Well, I think the answer to that is they're not going to do an exchange rate like that.
Right,
I don't think
this
is going to happen in any way. But just hypothetically, I would put it down to like 200, 250 probably. I don't think...
Per 1 CP, yeah.
Yeah, right. I don't think, and it that wouldn't be worth it.
Absolutely not. The in-game currency is all over the map.
UNC Samurai posted a picture of, I believe that's H.W. Bush on an NBC News, and it has voodoo economics.
I was going to make a remark about either Stanley Nichols or Bitcoin, what the conversion rate is in addition to CP to ISO, but...
There you go. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting question.
Sure. Well, hopefully this anniversary will help him with his ISO slump.
Yeah. It's helping a bit.
I think someone was saying just from completing the daily Deadpool, even if you don't get any shield interrupts, just from the straight up ISO you get, it's 13,000 a day. And, you know, 10 days at 13,000 ISO a day, that's a hefty chunk on top of whatever else you get from, you know, taco tokens themselves, shield interrupts, or otherwise.
True story. It's got me playing more actively.
There you go.
So onward, Dances with Weevils said, the boosted list this week, he was very excited. Apparently he uses Medusa, Blade, and Strange as his go-to team, and since they're all boosted, yeah, he had a good week.
Good.
He also commented on Shoefly Pie. He says nowhere near the top 10 of pies, but he said last week that he tried another miss by the PA Dutch, Concord Grape Pie.
Ugh.
He says essentially it's grape jelly in a pie crust. One bite was more than enough.
It sounds so terrible. I'm sad that that happened to him, but thank you for diving on that landmine for the rest of us.
By the way, I got to mention this. I mentioned going to Salt Lick when we were out in Austin. I had a blackberry pie out there. It was actually cobbler, but it was pie.
Mm-hmm.
It was made on like a bread pudding base, okay, with cobbler top with blackberry in the middle. Oh, incredible.
It sounds excellent.
Yeah, blackberries. Big fan. Too many seeds, but can't really do much about that.
Right.
Well, at least seeds kind of tips you off that it was probably homemade.
Yeah, absolutely. In any case, Jordan from Jersey said, Apocalypse, the rules made it seem really complicated, but having actually played it, it's pretty straightforward and fun, puzzly, but not obnoxious, good balance. I think that sums up what we said previously.
Yes.
D-Wing Illinois said, can't remember last time I actively envied Ian, but that Sunday you described would be one of those times. How did your Sunday go?
It was, you know, in my world, it was wonderful. You know, I woke up not too early. I loafed around the house. I played Puzzle Quest, watched a lot of football. And then I watched a new episode of Saturday Night Live and went to bed.
Oh, missed the new episode of Saturday Night Live to catch up on that.
It was funny.
Okay. Who was the guest?
Gal Gadot.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Oh, yep. So they probably did a bunch of Justice League.
There was a Wonder Woman joke or two in there.
Gotcha. Sure.
Dewing also said, Craig, he's listening though. Craig, why even bother making pie if you're not going to eat the crust? Just open up a can of filling and grab a spoon. Hashtag suck it, Craig.
I don't know. That sounds like good life advice. And then he told him to suck it. I don't know.
He also said, so Craig's issue with Rhodey ends up being with the animation's timing. The complaining now seems excessive in retrospect. That is very true. Tad Prime said, hooray for double ISOs. Vine is really backed up right now. I'm not going to touch that. He also said, Apocalypse isn't even as bad as he thought it might be. And another one where Cloak and Dagger help immensely. Black Tile Generation gets you going with either Carol or Vulture, who I think we mentioned previously as well. And he says he enjoys the pie segment and is waiting for the evaluation of his favorites.
All right.
I'm not going to influence. He mentioned what his favorites are, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to let it flow.
Okay, great. We'll let it happen organically.
Yeah. And finally, Jeff Cascadian said, the Apocalypse event was great, as others have already said, put the puzzle back in Puzzle Quest. He says, Alliance members should use more team-ups. Since XP became a thing, he asks for team-ups all the time so that his Alliance members can get experience, and they're team-ups that he just deletes because they're junk, but whether he uses them or not, it still helps the Alliance. It's a good point. Doesn't mean I'm using mine.
No, it's good. It's a tough habit to break or a tough habit to start.
Start, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never pay attention to those bars until I'm, like, in trouble in a fight. But
yeah, I agree. It's nothing it's very tough habit to start.
Yeah. So that's all I got. Mailbag is now empty.
All right, let's catapult right into our everybody's favorite modified new segment, the Boosted Characters of the Week, brought to you by none other than Joe.
Believe me now and listen to me later. I'm not going to try to do the voice.
Sure.
Because we are here to talk about who is pumped up for the next week.
Nice.
All right. So, again, I don't mean to be that sort of guy, but I'm not going to get into really who the 1 and 2 star boosteds are.
No.
Because...
No, we never do.
Yeah. So, on the 3 stars, right, She-Hulk is the saddest of the bunch. Except when played by the CPU. She's in that list of characters that the computer plays way better than anyone in the history of the world plays any other character in the world.
That is
when
correct.
She does her red, it always knocks out all of my good tiles and none of hers. When she does her blue, always sucks the correct color away from me. I can never get it to do that when I do it. And, or whatever her power that's, or her green is the one that steals the AP from the other people.
Right.
Does it
steal it or does it just vanish it?
It vanishes it.
Okay.
But it always the computer could always get it to vanish the right color.
Right.
And I could never get it to vanish any other color. Like, I'll always, I'll be interested to see how Elektra plays. I think this might be her first time in the boosted pile.
I believe so, yeah.
Star-Lord will be fun. You know, I have fun playing with the 5-star, so the 3-star will kind of jack him up a little bit, and we'll get into a little bit more of him later. But I always like playing 3-star boosted Human Torch. He is one of the most underrated 3-stars, I think, for the amount of damage that he can do for such little ISO, whether it be the red or the green primarily, especially that flame jet. If you get a good green generator and you get that flame jet out and you could keep that protected, you were doing so much damage for such a small amount of green ISO, and then boosted on top of it, forget about it.
Yeah, he's like the poor man's 4-star blade.
Right. But he was 4-star Blade before 4-star Blade was 4-star Blade.
Yeah,
right.
I always underestimate Human Torch, so yeah,
always.
I completely agree with that.
And then the 4-star list, Sandman is kind of like the odd duck in all of this, only because I'm sure he is a killer, especially when boosted, and you can get all of his little elements right, like the right amount of yellow and the right amount of protectiles and all that sort of jazz. But I'm more of a straightforward, in-your-face sort of thing. You got Bum Fist, Iron Fist, Hobo Fist, whatever you want to call him. You get that one strike tile out, and his black can one-shot the best of them. It's unbelievable. Coulson is great. Coulson is great unboosted. But boosted, he gets exactly what he needs to survive, which is a ton more health. His health practically doubles when boosted, and that just helps him stick around so much longer. And you team him up with anyone who makes countdown tiles. You want to throw him in there with a Scarlet Witch. You want to throw him in there with a totally awesome Hulk. You want to go onto the higher end of things. You know, your big guns like your 5-star Hawkeyes and stuff. He doesn't even need to be boosted, but you throw the boosted on top of him, even better.
Yeah, don't forget Carol. Him and
Carol.
Right, Carol,
of course. He's just such a helpful character, and then boosted just makes it so much better. But for me, the top star boosted folks are Gamora and Rocket and Groot. I use Gamora, Rocket, and Groot, and a random third Guardian of the Galaxy person in my PvE matches, and I could even beat some of the tougher nodes in, like, 5 moves. Those first 3 Wimpy Dude nodes, I'm beating them in 2 moves. Because the number of Guardians of the Galaxy people out there, you have Rocket and Groot's, his yellow pumped up, the one that puts out all the strike tiles. And you have those big gun characters, you're making one match with that many strike tiles out, and you get a halfway decent cascade, you could wipe out entire teams with one move.
Yeah.
And now they're boosted on top of it? I might be able to play the next round of PvE with my eyes closed, with those two. Like, I could play those two in Bagman, and I'll do fantastic.
That's just wrong.
Now, granted, my Bagman is level 142, but either way.
Sure.
So you're only 2 away from maxing him out?
2 away!
Starting all over?
2 away, and then I can start building a second one.
Oh, man.
Because that's a wise use of 100 hero, or 1,000 hero points, right?
Right.
2 Bagmen? Sure. But yeah, this is a really good boosted list. Now, I will say my only complaint about this boosted list, a very low end of X people when there's an X-themed PvP and PvE going on. But I guess at least with the PvE, you're against X characters, so that makes a little bit more sense.
Okay, good point. Oh yeah, I see. I was like, I don't think there are any on there. And I was like, oh no, the ones we didn't talk about.
Right. That 1-star Storm, man, I'm telling you, somebody at D3 loves 1-star Storm.
She's a really excellent character when you start out the game.
Absolutely.
I can see clinging to that. Well, that's good. So there you have it. Those are our boosted characters of the week. Pumped up. Brought to you this week by Cho.
Not Hans or Franz. Those are...
None.
Those are characters owned by NBC Universal and their parent companies. They have nothing to do with this segment and do not endorse or otherwise.
You guys got anything going on with your Vine?
I'm sure
I got
do.
Tons of Vine questions for both of you.
Okay.
No, wait till it's, well, you know, go ahead.
Sure. Before we do that, so I just want to mention somebody on Discord, I don't remember who, but somebody said, Gamorpha? Do you mean Gamorpha?
I do. I'm a little out of my element.
That's
being in the semi-Craig role this week. So I've forgotten all of the clever Craigisms. Even Gamorpha being, like, one of my favorites.
That's the one thing, Craig not being here, of course. All the cute insider names, you know.
Right.
I have my own cute little insider names that I call people. but obviously they're just in my head, you know? When I write my notes for myself of who I got whatever, and I write Bummy, I know that's 4-star Iron Fist.
Poor Hyde. He just wants to belong.
He's way better than his name suggests.
Right.
Absolutely. Remember when he was introduced and that's why everyone was like, oh, he's terrible. He stinks. This character's horrendous. They should have did blah, blah, blah. Anyone but him. And I think that's like that's the cyclical thing that we go through every time a new character gets announced, for the most part, is everyone hates him. They don't like him. Why do they put this character in the game? Oh, I've used him. Now I've used him boosted. Oh, he's fantastic. He or she. My apologies. I don't want to be gender specific on this. But just real quick, my Vine is nothing. My Vine is a bunch of 2-stars. That in about 8 days I got to make some decisions on, because I have a fully champed 2-star Hawkeye and a 2-star Magneto. But once I get one fully champ, that's when I start stockpiling 2-stars, unless something big happens. Like, unless I pull, like, a crazy 5-star, and it's like, oh, it's like, or like, a 4-star that's about to be champed, and then plans change, but I have 8 days, until I have to make any hard, fast decisions on, you know, is somebody else gonna get fully champed as a 2-star, who's getting sold, who's getting champed again, what 3-stars are close to popping out a 4-star or a legendary token, and those are the decisions that I make. But like I said, right now, when your Vine's a bunch of 2-stars, it's a bunch of 2-stars. It doesn't even matter.
Right. So my Vine has gotten a lot better. I had a whole lot of problems earlier. I got another Yondu that I couldn't use, and he was at 353, so that was very annoying. So I decided I'd open up a whole bunch of tokens and see if I could, because he's my favorited character, see if I could flesh it out. And I got 2 more Yondu covers that I couldn't use, all black. So I had them at like 383. So I ended up, I eventually got one that I could use, and then I bought the last one just so that I could champion him and make, and didn't have to sell all those. So I championed Yondu. And that ran me out of ISO, and I had during that time, I kept pulling War Machines. So I had a ton of War Machines that I had to worry about. So what I did is I sold off 3-star Daredevil, because he was max champ. I sold off 3 2-stars. They just happened to line up so that I could sell off all these characters to get enough ISO to champion War Machine. So I've championed 2 4-stars in this last week, and am now way down on my... Hopefully, I don't have to use Daredevil anytime soon. or some of these other 2-stars that I sold off, because I've got like 1 or 2 covers for them. Normally I, you know, try and get them built up before I sell them off, but not the case. So now my Vine is 2 red Electra, because she is of course at 353, and a red Devil Dino, because I can only get red for him. I'm at 453, I think. So,
well, depending on how things shake out, hopefully you'll get at least one more Devil Dinosaur in the next 5 days, 4 days. And, you know, maybe that might lead to 2, or who knows, you might go like anniversary vault crazy and just pull them all.
Right, hopefully. So I want to be clear, UNCA Samurai asked. No, it was, I mentioned Daredevil because he was the 3-star I sold, but additionally 2-stars. I do not have a 2-star Daredevil. That doesn't exist even for me. But yeah, I'm hoping to get the Devil Dino thing sorted out. If I have to sell a couple 3-star Electras, okay. Not happy
right.
about it,
those,
but it'll happen.
Those will come back around again. Devil Dinosaur ain't coming back around for another year after this Monday.
Really would like to get that sorted out.
Yep.
Okay, here's my Vine situation / player situation. And I know both of you well enough that you have a vague to solid idea of the style of player that I am as far as volume and commitment and whatnot. From what I've been hearing, I really want to get on board with this 2-star recycling train.
Sure.
Because it seems lucrative. So I'd like to open up a few more slots so that I can roster more 2-stars so that, you know, when I'm selling them and rebuilding them, I'll still have 3 playable ones at all times.
Right, exactly.
So, which is, you know, why I'm kind of stuck at the moment, because I was only running 3 2-stars. But, you know, now they've reached level 144 and I want to, you know, start profiting from this. So I have 1,800 hero points. Let's say we'll have, you know, 2,000 here shortly. Probably I have to make a decision here within the next 6 days. So within the next 6 days, I'll get there. And that'll mean I can open up to 2 two slots that I can do. What I'd like to do is, you know, start with that plan. I would like to open up two more slots, fill them both with two stars, and start building them because I have a lot of two stars sitting here dying on my vine because I was hoping to get double ISO out of opening a whole bunch of tokens that I've been sitting on. And of course, that's, you know, not a thing, and nor should it be. I was just wrong. The problem that I'm running into is I still occasionally get good, quote-unquote, good stuff. Well, you know, we just had that event, so I've got three Gambit covers sitting here that need a roster spot, theoretically. I've got one five-star Gambit cover here that needs a slot, and one five-star Daredevil cover here that needs a slot. Now, see, that's the noise that I made, too.
Oh, my heart.
Here is the dilemma is, again, and maybe it's just, this is why I'm asking, you know, bearing in mind where I am. Do I want to start this two-star trainer rolling and start reaping some of the rewards because it seems to be easier for someone like me to manage? Or do I want to add a sixth and seventh one-cover five-star to my ever-growing roster? Because I look at my roster, I'm like, oh yeah, five stars, they're valuable, they're important, and they can go here right alongside with Black Panther, both Spider-Mans, Steve Rogers, Green Goblin, Doc Ock, Doctor Strange, who have no value. None. So I'm not super excited to add Daredevil and Gambit to that list, but I am not reckless enough to just cash them in for 2,000 ISO.
So before you answer, Grinch McScrooge said, I'll send Ian an iTunes card for Pete's sake if he's on an iPhone. So unfortunately, Ian is not on an iPhone.
I play on Steam.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me this. I feel like I already know the answer, but I'm willing to listen.
Ray, I'll let you take point on this because I have a thought process.
Okay. Man, I hate selling five stars.
Yeah. It's hard.
It's really hard. But yeah, that's
the second most painful thing I've ever gone through.
Yeah.
Having a five-star die on the vine was easily the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
So my whole thing is I hate that. So I would probably go the route of rostering the five stars, even though they're not going to be useful. But even saying that pains me. So I'm very curious what Joe has to say.
Okay. Bear in mind, this is Ian-specific advice.
Right. Everyone
this
else
is not
listening.
Advice I'm giving to anyone else in the world other than Ian, knowing his roster, his play style, etc. When do those five stars expire?
Let me take a quick gander here.
While you do that, UNC Samurai said, cue Sarah McLachlan music for just 50 cents a day. You can help sponsor a roster slot for Ian.
Let's see. I got 7 days on Gambit and 6 days and 22 hours on Daredevil.
Okay, so approximately 7 days from now on both.
Yes.
I will personally remind you in 7 days to sell both of those five stars. Do not sell them today. Sell them in 7 days.
Okay.
Roster that three-star Gambit.
Oh.
Because you're going to be getting more three-star Gambit covers, I would assume, at some point if you play the PvP after Devil Dinosaur.
Sure.
So, we've talked about three-star Gambit. I think three-star Gambit is a character that you're going to have a lot of fun with. And that's what I'm thinking about, fun. When do you have to make the decision on the two stars?
6 days.
Okay. Wait the 6 days to see who you get the most two-star covers of.
All right. Well, right now I'm looking at either 8 covers of Bullseye or 10 covers of Dakin.
Okay. They both give appropriate covers, like Dakin gives Dakin, Bullseye gives Bullseye. Where are your three-star Bullseye and Dakins at?
That's a fair question. One moment, please.
Un momento, por favor.
Yes, level 191 Bullseye, and Dakin is at level 180.
Okay.
So if I pick Dakin over Bullseye, I see where you're going with this, I will very soon get an X-23 cover.
Right, and then obviously you make the decision from there, where's your X-23 at? But, like I said, wait the 6 days because, you know, you might play something or you might run into a run on tokens where you get six, you know, two-star Black Widows back to back to back to back to back. You never know what's going to happen because I've had that happen before where I'm like, all right, I'm pulling the trigger. I'm going to sell off this two-star Magneto. I'm going to re-roster him. And I'm going to sell all my other 2 stars, and then I get a whole bunch of another one that was the second one that I was going to make the decision on. You know what I mean?
Sure.
When it comes to those...
Sure, I hear what you're saying, and go ahead.
Oh, and who are the 3 2-stars that you have?
They should be Storm, Cap, and Hawkeye.
Okay. So obviously, I would assume you're building covers for them as well to re-roster them.
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Start...
No, I mean... Start doing that.
Right. And then which one you sell first is the one that you end up at that 6-day mark, you have the most covers to re-roster.
Okay.
You're always going to want to go, like, once I got my fully champ 2-star, I start saving all my 2-star covers. Then from that point, that 2-week mark, which at this point ends up being 8 days from today, I look at, okay, Hawkeye and Magneto... Are any of them coming up as a required character in a PvE? I might have a better idea of it in 8 days. Which of these 2 do I have more covers of that I can easily re-roster and get back up to going through the champion process again?
This is good advice, but man, it's a lot of thinking.
But you know, it's when I say it aloud, it's a lot of thinking. But when I'm doing it in the game, because I've gone through the cycle so many times, right. It's just like second nature. Because it's just... You know, once that one is champed, I don't sell any more 2-stars. And then at the end of that 2 weeks, I go through them to see who I have the most of and just do it there.
Okay. That sounds... Okay, so now if I'm taking away what I think I'm supposed to take away from this, since I have 2 spots that I can open up, I will roster Gambit.
3-star Gambit, yes.
3-star Gambit, yes. And now if I add a roster spot and I'm able to add a 2-star... That will give me 4 2-stars, which would help this whole process because I'll always have 3 playable ones and one that I can
build. The one that you're building.
And then, yes. Okay. And then figure something out here in 6.5 days to do with those 5-stars.
That's a good point.
And Wednesday morning, I will contact you. And that's another thing. You might hit, you know, that if you already have it, in the anniversary thing where you hit the 2,900 hero points. And now you could just buy 2 more roster slots and you don't have to worry about it.
There's a 2,900 hero point situation somewhere?
In the anniversary vault, all the way at the very end of it. Like, in one of the last 4 rows, it's a 2,900 hero points.
I want that badly.
Right. There's a 600, 1,000, and a 2,900. So.
Wow.
Right. There's a lot of chances to get those anniversary tokens between now and Sunday. You hit that jackpot. This conversation that we just spent the last 10 minutes on means nothing because now you can roster everybody that you need to.
But this brought dying on the vine to a new level.
Right.
So that was great. Thanks. I will bear all that in mind, and I'll be playing a lot more this week because of the anniversary. So there's lots of moving parts here. Reward of the week. Apparently, I got a 5-star Gambit out of my Misa Me token.
Yeah, nice. I wish I had a 5-star Gambit.
I wish I could send you mine. I'd have a lot less stress.
Sure.
That's all I can remember. I think I got a... Oh, no, I lied. I got a... I opened up a favorites vault token pack guy, and it was a blue Peggy.
Hey, Peggy's awesome.
Yeah, I was happy to get that. So.
Sure. So in mine, like I said, I opened up a ton of tokens in order to try and get the Yondu situation taken care of. I did end up getting a single purple Daredevil cover. So now the only 5-star I'm missing is Gambit. So that's nice. But the reward of the week is definitely that 12th Yondu cover so that I only had to spend 120 command points to get him champed. Yeah. I'd have been much happier with 2, but... One of them was good enough. That'll be my reward of the week.
And hey, I think you've got them. You do have Rocket and Groot and Gamorpha, my apologies, on the 4-star variety champ. Do you not, Ray?
I do. I do have them both champed now. So yeah, they're
And hey, starting
amazing.
Tomorrow, you can tease them out with a little bit of Yondu and have a blast.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So my reward of the week, quote unquote, was dumping 900 plus CP into the Mezami vault. Less so much looking for a Gambit, which I did get 1, but more so hoping that I could finally get a red Old Man Logan for my 550 Old Man Logan.
Oh, right.
I did get 2 Phoenix covers, which, you know, she's already champed, and I did get 2 Old Man Logan covers, a yellow and a black. So, bummer for me. But hey, I got Gambit, so there you go.
So how many champ 5-stars do you have at this point? I haven't looked at your roster in quite a while.
I have 5. Thanos, Phoenix, Doc Ock, Hawkeye, and Star-Lord.
That's incredible.
The next ones that are close are, I have Hulk fully covered, and I have one cover away on Iron Man.
Solid.
I would also use the word sickening, but, you know, mainly from jealousy, nothing else.
Yeah, green with envy.
But really, the crown jewel of my roster is without a doubt the level 321 Gwenpool I have, so that's really where the money's at.
No doubt.
By far, my it was at one point by far my highest covered 4-star, but Carol just recently got up to 316, so.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, take that, Gwenpool.
Nipping at her heels. They're about equal characters, right? Right?
Yeah. All right, is everybody loaded up for everybody's save it segment brought to you by this guy? A little bit of the token opening. Greetings to this guy hanging out with Craig and Ray this weekend.
Wooly just said I threw up a little bit there. Gwenpool.
All right, I got lots of stuff to open, so if anybody wants to go ahead of me, please feel free.
I believe I'm only opening one, so I'm going to poke him in his ear, because that's what I do.
Do it.
Get a 4-star. It is a 4-star Spider-Gwen. Teenage Kicks. That might be dangerous. That might have been a bad thing for me to do.
Uh-oh. I was just going to ask, is it usable?
Trying to find out here. She is now, it's the perfect cover. She's now at a 355. That gave me 3 in her Teenage Kicks. So
nice.
That was exactly what I needed. Never mind. It was perfect.
Ha-ha! Huzzah.
So I'm stockpiling my latest Legends, but I do have that one fan favorites from the Devil Dinosaur Crash, so I'm going to open that.
Sure, cool.
Let's see what happens. It's a normal 4, and it's a Blade, and that's going to put Blade at 304.
Wow.
Huzzah. Yeah,
tremendous. I have a very similar token, which I will fan favorite open first, and it's a 5-star. Gosh darn it. Ooh, no, wait, it's the good one. It's Court Death by Thanos.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's going to get used right away. I take my sigh away and anything other inappropriate noises that I made, and I move right on to poke Daredevil in his eye socket. And it's another 5-star.
What?
It is a red web shot Spider-Man Peter Parker.
Hopefully you have
and
him.
I do.
Okay.
That will get rostered right away. And now, for whatever reason, I have a 10-pack. I'm going to open it and see what happens.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, an anniversary 10-pack?
No.
Oh, just a regular 10-pack. I was going to say, because if it was the anniversary 10-pack and you get the 2900, this could quite possibly be the greatest day in the history of Marvel Puzzle Quest.
It just starts with a 3-star cap, some more Dakin, some more Bullseye from my vine. I'll try to skip over some of these 2-stars. And ooh, here's a 4-star Seeking Redemption Spider-Woman. Here's a patch. Yellow. Here's a Scarlet Witch.
Craig said, I hate Ian.
I know. And a Beast. I think that's it. No, I got another one. And a Psylocke. Oh, she was my bonus.
Wow, you have a Psylocke bonus?
And another Psylocke. Yeah, she gives you a Peggy.
Oh, right. Sure.
So, I got 2 bonus Psylocks, the 3 stars that I mentioned, and a Spider-Woman. So that was a very fruitful opening of the tokens. Thanks so much, this guy. I will continue to envy Craig and Ray for getting to hang out with you, but I'm glad you guys had an excellent weekend. And thanks for sponsoring this segment, This Guy.
This Guy.
Speaking of that, is there anybody else who has recently joined our list of patrons on our Patreon page, Ray?
Oh, man. Yeah. And I wasn't prepared for that at all.
That was not my intention. I just had remembered last week that you asked me to not let it slide again.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be there shortly.
That's all right. That'll give me a second to roster these Psylocks.
So yeah, I did want to shout out. We haven't done it for a while. I want to give a shout out for everyone who helps us. Screech, Jeff Metzner, a Cactus Jack, of course.
Hey, Cactus Jack. I know that guy. Bang, bang.
Yeah. Astro 3. Nelson, Adam Nelson, Mad Olaf, Weiner RM, apparently I was mispronouncing his name previously, I don't know if I corrected that, but there you go, J-Wall, Astro Monkey 9, I'm trying to think of who all these people are, Adam Gaver, Inhel Moraro. I can't remember whose nickname this is. But in any case, I'm going to skip one because I can't remember his name. Stephen Finch is our latest patron, and want to give a shout out to him. He is yet to contact me with, he gets to name a segment if he wants to.
Holy majoli.
So you need to contact me and let me know what you want to do there.
Right on.
Double X, Heeshan Gixon, and Jeff Polier. So big shout out to everybody who helps this podcast be able to continue, because I just got a bill and was able to pay it off and it felt great.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. Thanks, valued patrons.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. With that being said, tell me about the podcast network. We are part of a tremendous podcast network known as the Soon to Be Named Network, available at soontobenamednetwork.com or soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com. It is a collection of many other fine podcasts that you can use to fill your podcasting needs. If you would like to learn more about each individual podcast, you can go to Soon to Be Named Network at soontobenamednetwork.com. I believe we also have a direct link to each individual show on our homepage, puzzlewarriors3.com. So please check us out. Once again, that is Soon to Be Named Network at soontobenamednetwork.com. All right.
It's a little late, but Craig said, make Joe do it.
Time lapse. Sorry, it already happened. And now we're going to wrap this up. Unless anybody has anything else for the good of the order, I wanted to thank our special guest, Joe. You really helped us along this week, and it was kind of late notice. I apologize for my laziness, but I appreciate your flexibility.
No problem at all, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no, thanks for being on. It's nice to have someone on the show that is familiar with the Marvel Puzzle Quest game and plays it on occasion and can offer some commentary to the level that you are able to offer it.
If you guys decide to start up a Super Mario Run podcast, I could have my son do it.
He's my number one choice. Right. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Check for updates on PuzzleWarriors3.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're probably on some other iTunes or podcast manufacturing sites.
Hopefully Podomatic. I'm
not familiar with Podomatic for sure.
Yep.
Our original. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can reach us on Twitter, Facebook, on our homepage, on Reddit at the Puzzle Warrior or the Marvel Puzzle Quest subreddit are some of the many ways that you can get your comments to us. Some of them may even end up on the show. If you feel like throwing dollars at us, we have an Amazon banner on our homepage. If you click that link, it'll take you to Amazon. It won't cost you any more, but it will give us some credits. You can also go to CafePress.com/PuzzleWarriors3, buy some swag there with our logo on it. Or if you want to be added to the list of super excellent patrons that Ray just read aloud and perhaps sponsor show segments, make Craig sing, whatever we can do for your amusement. Those donations are always much appreciated. So goodbye for now, and remember, kids, when life gives you lemons, make a pie.
I like that one. Straightforward, right to the point.
Right. All right. Goodbye, friends.
Good night.
Bye for now.
Ack, ack.